Lord Jesus, thank you that your invitation is always new and always true, that you invite us, you want us as we are. And you want us to know the peace and the love and the joy that come from you. And we don't stay as we are, but we come as we are, and you call us. And so, Lord, use your word today. Holy Spirit, work through my words and continually show us what it means to be found in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 12 in your bulletin has the gospel reading, or if you have your Bible with you, Luke 14. I'm going to read it once more, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what we read. So I said that one Sabbath, it says, this is verse 1, it's not in the reading, Jesus went to eat at a prominent Pharisee's house, and they were watching him carefully. Now this sentence appears in many different ways in the Gospel of Luke, because Luke is always telling about Jesus eating with people. He's always going over to somebody's house. Sabbath is a big celebration for Jews then, as it is Jews today. And people eat together. And Luke is always telling you over and over, Jesus is always eating with people. For Luke, all the different gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, tell us different things in different ways based on what they're trying to tell us about Jesus. And for Luke, he's always talking about meals because the kingdom of God is a party. It is. And it's at parties where you are accepted for who you are. And that is what God's is. Say it's Thanksgiving. You often spend it with family. And say if your Thanksgiving dinner is even if it's people that you haven't got along with very well over the years, they don't want you there because of what you've done, what you've achieved, what degrees you have, what job you hold, how much money you have. They don't care about any of that. You're welcome because of who you are, because your heart is beating and you belong. In God's kingdom party, you belong because Jesus died for you, and Jesus wants you there, and Jesus invites you there. And so Luke is always telling us this about God's kingdom. It's a party that Jesus wants you at. And so then these stories, these parables, talk about that. First one in your bulletin, verse 7, we're going to skip that. That would take us just in a little different direction that we're going to talk about today. We just don't have enough time. So we're going to pick it up then at verse 12. Jesus says to the host, says, when you give a dinner, don't invite your friends or neighbors, your relatives, your rich neighbors, because they can invite you back and then they can repay you. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. That is a deep mystery we often don't believe. It says, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When you throw a party, don't invite people who can repay you. When you serve, just serve. Don't serve people that can secretly maybe help you out later and give you something back. That's actually serving yourself. Maybe times later, but that's actually giving something to somebody who will give something back. That's actually kind of giving to yourself, just patiently or you know, working through. He says, just give, just serve. And then Jesus then goes on to tell, it's called the parable of the banquet or the great banquet, and it's talking about the kingdom of God, now and later. Remember, not just later, not just heaven later, but now too. And then he says, when one of those at the table, this is verse 15, heard these things, he said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom. But he said to them, a man once gave a great banquet, invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent a servant to say to those who had been invited, come, everything's ready. But they all began to make excuses. First one said, I bought a field. I got to go check it out. Sorry, can't make it. Another said, well, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go check those out. Sorry, won't be there. Another said, I just got married, not going to make it. So the servant came and reported these things. Then the master got angry, said to his servants, go out to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, we've already done that, and there is still room. And the master said, go out to the highways, to the country lanes. I don't care where you got to go. Invite people that my house might be filled. So when you are invited to something, when you've been invited to a party, what is one of the questions that rattles through your mind next. You probably ask a few things. You want some details, where, when, whatever. But then what is one of those inevitable questions that comes up in your mind when you're invited to somewhere like a party or an event? I think one of those questions that always comes up in my mind is, who else will be there? Yes, yes, we all want to know. And I don't care if you're a middle schooler wondering about a youth event. Hey, are my friends going to be there? Or a senior citizen thinking about an Evergreen Commons tour or coming here for a Bible study or whatever it is. I think that's a human question. We all want to know who else is going to be there. And behind that is, because if certain people are there, I'm out. Right? That's kind of what stands behind that. If crazy Uncle Harold is going to the family reunion, I'm not going. I don't have Uncle Harold, for the record. So I don't have any crazy uncles. I have many aunts. Some of them might be crazy, but no crazy uncles. God's kingdom, God's party, is something you're invited to. Jesus says, you are my guest. And it's a party that Jesus himself has paid for, all the fine food, all the good wine, the hall, the entertainment, everything. And he didn't pay with money, but with his life. Jesus wants you there so badly that he would die for you. And Jesus holds out those wide open arms that were stretched out on the cross with nails through them to welcome you into his kingdom party. But yet sometimes we're like people in the story, and we don't necessarily like who else is being invited to the party, do we? You see, Jesus wants you there, but he wants people that look and speak very different there. He wants people from Afghanistan and Pakistan there also. And Jesus wants your relative that just gets under your skin and you can't stand at family gatherings. Jesus wants them too. And Jesus wants your annoying coworker there. And Jesus wants, as it says in the parable, invite rich people, poor people, people that look like you, people that have never spoken a word of English. Jesus wants them there too. But then, like people in the parable, we also can start to make many excuses to not participate in the kingdom party on a daily basis. We say, oh, you know, I got to clip my dog's nails today, you know, really busy, full day, you know, I can't do that. Or, you know, I got another work appointment. Or Jesus, you know, this season is really busy, school and sports are starting, and, you know, maybe another time, but not now. Or even if we're not, maybe we don't say this out loud, but in our head we might say things like, you know, if those people from that part of town are going to be there, maybe I'll pass. And Jesus then says, fine, if you don't want to come, I want this party full. I'm going to go invite, and I'm just going to invite more and more people. And if you're not coming, you know, okay, I still want you, but I'm going to keep inviting because I want my party full. And so Jesus says, I don't care what you look like, what you've been through, what language you speak, what country you live in, how many times you've blown it, or you think you've let me down, or what occupation you have, or income level, education, age. I don't care. I want you. Please come. And when Jesus first tells this story, he's in a Pharisee's house at a meal, Jewish audience. He's talking to the Jewish people. He is their Messiah, fulfilling their scriptures, their Old Testament. He came for them, and they didn't want him. And they made all sorts of excuses to dismiss him and eventually kill him. And so Jesus then says, okay, if you Jews aren't going to come, well, I'm inviting Gentiles and people from all over. They're all coming too. Today, Christianity around the world is growing, and it is growing fast, really fast. But not where we live, not in the United States, nor any other historically, what we tend to call historically Christian countries in the West. Britain, France, Germany, Canada, even countries that have Lutheran state churches of Norway, Finland, Sweden, all of those countries, church attendance is declining, dwindling, or struggling. But the rest of the world, places we would call non-Christian parts of the The Holy Spirit is inviting people to the party, and they're coming, and the Church of Jesus is growing. I know some of you have heard me say some of these statistics before, but every time I see them again, they blow my mind about what God is doing. But did you know that there are more than three times as many Lutherans in Africa than North America? Anglicans, it's the same. Other church bodies, it's similar stuff. But that's what I know because I'm Lutheran. So three times as many. Our church body, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has 2.3 million members here in America. More than twice that, 5 million in the Lutheran Church of Ethiopia alone. And then the Lutheran Church of Madagascar, they have people there, not just movies and animals. More than that in Madagascar and the Lutheran Church of Tanzania, bigger than our church body. God is on the move. God is doing something. God is changing lives and inviting people to his party. In Korea, just over 100 years ago, in 1900, zero Protestant churches. Zero Christian Protestant churches. Today, there are over 7,000 in just Seoul alone, and nearly 9 million Christians in the country. India, of the 140 million people that make up the untouchable caste, those that are treated the worst of the worst in their society, 10% of them, 14 million, have become Christians. And places that we call the Islamic world have seen more people come to faith in Jesus in the last 25 years than the entire history of Christian missions. And countries like Indonesia used to post religious statistics. And because the percentage of Christians has become so high, about 15%, the Muslim government refuses to print those statistics anymore. And there have been account after account in the last 15 to 20 years of people, of Muslims in the Muslim world, particularly in closed countries, that have had Jesus appear to them in visions and dreams and tell them, hey, go find this person. They're going to tell you about Jesus and what he's done for you. And in China, it is estimated that there are more Christians than members of the Communist Party. And in my lifetime, even before I'm even eligible to retire, China will be the country with the most Christians in the entire world. Now that's a party. Jesus is inviting people to his party, and people are coming. But you might be sitting there thinking, well, okay, that's great, but what about me? What about the life that I live? What about this church? You know, where does the rubber hit the road for me? How do I apply that to my life? Those statistics, they sound great, and I'm glad God's doing it, but what about here and me and now? I'll say it, and it might take a little bit to grab onto. Guests become hosts in God's kingdom party. Guests become hosts in God's kingdom party. So the way what Jesus is saying is, you are invited. You are always Jesus' guest. You are invited by the outstretched arms that died for you each and every day to enjoy the party that is the kingdom of God. And the peace that you can get nowhere else, and the hope and the life and the joy that only come from Jesus, you are always a guest at that party. But Jesus wants you to also become a host. Guests become hosts in God's kingdom. You see, when you know how good the party is, you want other people to come, right? You say, hey, this is pretty good. Life in Jesus, maybe you want to share it with me. Guests become hosts. That's why Jesus says when you invite people over. He's not saying, you know, if you decide to. He's saying when you invite. He's expecting you to do that. So what would it look like for you and I, who are always guests of Jesus, to become hosts as well? What would it look like for you to move from guest to host in God's kingdom? What would it look like for you to invite someone to the kingdom party that's been going on and that's going to go on for a long time? What would it look like for you to invite someone you care about to experience Jesus? I know it seems scary, and we all say things like, well, I can't tell people about Jesus. I don't know what to say. I don't know. That might all be true. But if the party is that good, it's worth it. Maybe you've wanted to invite somebody to worship for a while and you just keep finding reasons to not, like, oh, I'll put it off. Invite them. Maybe for somebody else you know, an invite to join in worship might be just way too scary and way too foreign. That's okay too. And maybe inviting them to the kingdom party begins with helping them in their yard and showing them that God cares about them. Or maybe inviting a coworker to the kingdom begins with carrying a cup of coffee down to their cubicle. And maybe inviting a friend to the kingdom means praying for them every day this week. Saying, Jesus, help this person to know you. Draw them to you. They need you just as I need you. What might it be for you this week? Guests become hosts in God's kingdom. And don't ever forget, you are always Jesus' guest. He lived and died for you and stretches out his arms to welcome you, but he also invites you to invite others. In Jesus' name, amen.